Hey, this is Jim Graham from the Masculine Journey Podcast, where we explore relationship instead of religion every week. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Once a world champion wrestler, now a champion for Christ. Once the Russian nightmare, now the devil's worst nightmare. And your tag team partner, Nikita Koloff. It's time to man up.
Well, I want to welcome you back to It's Time to Man Up, Nikita Koloff. My pleasure to have with me today, Brad Kane. You're like, how do I know that name, Brad Kane? Well, you may know him better, perhaps, as Lodi, part of the Ravens flock back in the WCW World Championship Wrestling days, back in the heyday of Monday Night Wars. Lodi, welcome to the Man Up Show.
Yes, sir, Nikita. Thank you so much for having me, man. This is awesome. Thank you.
Well, it's great just to have you on the show today. And, man, so much to talk about. But let's just jump in for just a quick moment and give a little backstory on outside of the Lodi Monster, on Brad Kane and kind of where Brad comes from.
Oh, man. So how far do you want me to go back there, Nikita? Like when I was a little Lodi or a medium-sized Lodi? You know, when I was a gleam? Yeah.
Well, let's just start with pre-wrestling days and kind of, you know, you grew up where? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Asheboro, North Carolina, and I say Asheboro because that was the closest place that was on the map. We were kind of out in the country. But I grew up, just a country kid in a rural area and wanted to play football and loved wrestling and graduated high school, went off to East Carolina University to get my degree in political science because I wanted to go to law school, and I ran into a personal trainer after my sophomore year in college that really set me up for the rest of my life in a lot of ways because he instilled in me a desire to work out. I got really invested in that and became a competitive bodybuilder and basically followed his lead as he trained me and kind of pushed me in that direction. And so I went ahead and finished my degree in East Carolina in political science. But the day I graduated college in 1993, I opened a personal training business. And that's what I did when I got out of school.
So a college graduate, and which is impressive in its own way. But just back up just for a second. So you played sports in high school. And I know you said,
sir.
I know you say you love wrestling. Was that amateur wrestling, professional wrestling, both?
Nikita. I can talk about this all day long. I grew up a pro wrestling fan.
Ah,
so blessed.
A pro wrestling fan. Okay.
The only kind of wrestling there is, Nick. You know, I have been blessed in so many ways. So, you know, as a kid growing up in the Carolinas,
in Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah.
Championship wrestling.
And NW. Yeah. So I truly believe, looking back on my life at this point, if I have to go back through and look at a period of wrestling that I'm just enamored with this day, it always goes back to that time frame.
Yeah.
And it was you guys, you know, and we have talked about this before, and I've been blessed to share a stage with you and share some of these stories, but growing up watching you and Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA and Arn Anderson and the Rock and Roll Express and Ric Flair, and you know, the names go on and everybody knows them. They're household names from that time period in that area. But to watch those guys, you know, once a month in the Greensboro Coliseum, and every once in a while we'd make it to Raleigh or down to Charlotte to see you there at the Coliseum. It really ended up shaping what I ended up doing my life later on. I had no idea. I didn't dream of, you know, at the most, it was a dream that
right.
I'd ever be a professional wrestler.
Right.
Much less sharing a stage with you and Magnum like we did last week, and the friendship and the over the years that you and I have been able to cultivate and have just it's a really cool thing. And so I jokingly always tell stories that my dad didn't pay for my college, but he paid for my wrestling career by making sure I was watching. You know, I was at the Greensboro Coliseum once a month when I was a kid, and so
yeah.
I got a lot of it from there. Yeah.
Yeah. And you told the story, you know, yeah, we did, just for the listeners, we did what we call a church brought us into community in Kentucky for road stories with Lodi Magnum and Nikita Koloff. But you told a story, maybe you can briefly share the story, how you used to kind of sit eye level and you're like, Dad, can we not get closer or something? And he goes, all right. He goes, next month we'll get closer. What happened at that next month?
You know, it never failed. He jokes about it to this day, but my dad would get his tickets and we always sit mid-level at the Greensboro Coliseum. So my dad's take on that was, we didn't sit down low, so he had to look up to see the wrestlers. We didn't sit up high, so he had to look down. We sat about ring level, and I had to give it to him. It was a pretty good seat. And we were about the same area almost every time. And being a high school kid and working out and lifting weights and trying to get stronger and bringing my football buddies to the events, it was one thing to see you guys from a distance, but I wanted to see what you look like up close. I mean, you look big from a distance, but, you know, sometimes you can't get a good perception of that. I told Dad, I said, Dad, would it be possible for us to ever sit up close? And he said, yeah, well, next month we'll get some front row tickets if we can get them. And I'll never forget, I was probably 15, 16 years old, and we had tickets on the front row, and Nikita, you came out, and we joked about the weight difference or the size or whatever. You were probably 290, 295 at least, and just in the best shape of your life. And I'm standing up on the rail, and you come walking by me, and I take like three steps back because you were the first man I've ever met in my life besides my dad who really instilled fear in me. I was scared to death because I'd never seen someone that big and that much muscle. You know, you were the muscle and everything and the demeanor and the character. You played it perfectly, and you scared a 15-year-old boy.
I appreciate that. I was, I guess, an imposing, intimidating figure, huh?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and we have joked about it with some of my wrestling kids at my school and other things that we had you in the 80s, and you've heard the comparisons too, but when you put you and your body, your height beside Bill Goldberg, and his body and his look and his demeanor, his height, you know, you guys were very similar body types, you know, in a lot of ways. And so, and the ongoing joke is, among me and all my friends, when we try to explain that story to people, sometimes they look at us kind of sideways. They're like, Nikita and Bill Goldberg, and you see them kind of start to put it together in their head. And, you know, we've talked about before how wrestling has changed today and everyone understands, or for the most part, that we're performing and this, that, and the other. But the one thing that I think got you over and got Goldberg over, we say this over and over again, is 99% of the people that are paying to watch that show, if they meet you or Bill Goldberg in a dark alley, they're getting their butt kicked. That's all there is to it.
You're one of quite a number of people that essentially said, well, you know, the 10, 11, 12-year-old in me, you scared the bejeebers out of me. You know, but you might even say, I put the fear of God in some people, maybe, I'm thinking, you know, pre-God in my own life. But that is crazy. That's a crazy story. I know when you shared that with me, I'm like, oh my gosh, to have that kind of a profound impact on others and is amazing. So you graduate from college in 1993, which ironically is technically the same year that I chose to step away from, you know, in-ring active wrestling and retire. And you made a decision then to go ahead and get involved at that point, not to pursue becoming an attorney or political science or anything else, but to become a professional wrestler. So give us a short Cliff Note version of that. How'd that happen?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was at my gym one day, and a guy that was running a local independent promotion walked in and asked me if I'd like to sponsor an ad for a small wrestling show. And I said, sure, I'd love to. And he asked me if they ever thought about it. He said, you're kind of a big guy. I was a competitive bodybuilder for about 7 years, and not being very tall, you know, in the off-season, I would get up around 260, 265, which was a lot of weight for my little frame to carry. He's like, man, you know, you're a pretty big guy. Have you ever thought about wrestling? And I'm like, oh, you know, I've loved it growing up, and I know some guys who've done some independent wrestling. And he said his wrestling trainer, the guy who taught him, need to get in better shape, and maybe we could work out a deal. Turned out to be C.W. Anderson, who later went on to wrestle at ECW and have his own run. But I went up and met him, and he started training me. And he was kind of ring in a barn in Smithfield, North Carolina, which is right outside of Raleigh, which is about an hour and a half from Greenville. So twice a week, you know, make an hour and a half trek up there to wrestle for a couple hours, an hour and a half back. We went on Tuesday and Thursday nights. And the one thing that stands out about that, which is a little different today, but the first four times I went, came home pretty beaten and battered and bruised after practice. And the fifth time I show up, he questions me when I walked in the door. He said, "Kid, you're going to keep coming, aren't you?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I'm here to learn how to wrestle. I told you I'd help you in the gym, and you're going to teach me how to wrestle." And he said, "Well, I guess tonight we'll start learning how to wrestle." And I said, "What?" I was confused. I'm like, "Learn how to wrestle? I've already been here four times."
Thought that's what I've been doing, right?
He kind of snickers a little bit, and he goes, "Bro, what we've been doing is not wrestling. I've just been beating you up to see if you'd quit because I didn't think you'd stick around." I was like, "What do you mean? I've just been punching and kicking you for 2 weeks." And so, yeah, I guess
you're a glutton for punishment, Lodi.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm too dumb to know any better. Maybe that's it. I wasn't smart enough to realize this ain't it.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
So yeah, you know, we started learning how to wrestle, and to a degree, I'm being gracious there because we were still really green. But you know, I did an independent show 2 months later, and started doing some independent shows here and there. And at that time, in the mid to late 90s, 95, 96, a lot of the guys on the independent shows in the Carolinas just didn't have great bodies.
Right.
There were a lot of older guys, a lot of 240-pound specimens in 140-pound bags of spandex, and it just didn't look good.
Right,
and so
right.
With a little bit of athleticism, you know, the promoters kind of started pushing me up the card because I was young and in good shape compared to these guys.
Yeah, you look good. Yeah. Guy.
Yeah, you know, so I there were some perks that came along with that, and we got up to this point where we were working, you know, in the main event against some of the names from TV that were doing some independent shows or whatever, and had a guy one night ask us after the show, he's like, "If you guys are happy at this level, you know, you can probably do this for the rest of your lives. You guys can main event armories or high schools and small shows, or you can go down to Atlanta to WCW to their school and try out and make some real money." And
the power plant.
So that was a year. Yeah, the power plant down in Atlanta, ran by Jody Hamilton and Buddy Lee Parker, Sarge, Mike Winter, and Pistol Pez Watley. And
okay.
We, my tag team partner and I did a week or two of sprinting and running and trying to get in bed because we knew we needed to pick up our cardio a little bit before we went down to this three-day tryout. We went down to Atlanta, and we had 27 guys show up for a three-day tryout. And at the end of the 3 days, there were three guys left, and I was one of them, and they invited me back, and I went home, packed my bags, and
moved to Atlanta.
Take care of my gym for me, and I moved to Atlanta.
In fact, your partner was one of the ones who quit, right?
Yes, sir. My partner on the second day came to me, and he said, "Man, I can't do this. I'm quitting. It's just too hard." And we learned later on. I mean, it was a really tough tryout, and WCW didn't need more talent, really. They were full already, but they had a training school, and, you know, you had 30, 40 guys show up a month to pay some money for a tryout.
Yeah.
It was quite a money generator.
Yeah, it was a cash cow, really, is what it was.
Absolutely.
With a bunch of hopefuls. But, fast forward a little bit. So you're in the power plant. Some doors of opportunity are beginning to open for you. But give us the short story on how the name – I was fascinated by how the name Lodi came about. Give our listeners the short story on that, if you would.
Yes, sir. I'll make that quick. I had not started working on TV yet with World Championship Wrestling. I was at the power plant, but I was still doing independent shows on the weekends. And they had brought me in to do a couple of enhancement jobs down in Florida for one of the syndicated shows that aired on Saturday morning. I had become Raven, the wrestler's personal trainer, after I met him through a friend one night. And then within a week or two, he had hired me as his personal assistant. So he was actually paying me weekly to take care of some of his stuff while he was on the road,
paying
his bills, picking up his dry cleaning, that kind of stuff.
Right.
When he was home, I would go over in the morning and wake him up, cook his breakfast for him. And, you know, he paid me $300 a week, and I was wrestling on the weekends, and he was home some during the week.
Yeah, okay, it's great.
And we were sitting out one night, and I was like, okay, it's getting bad, but I also had to put up with Raven, so there's that part.
Right, it's another story for another day. That's another show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole nother. That's a couple of shows, and we probably need a
Raven's flock
psychologist to come, to help us with that. But you know, we were sitting, and he made a phone call one night. Raven had a group of bad guys on TV, and one of them had hurt his neck. Stevie Richards was going to be leaving, and he said, "Man, I really need you on the road with me." And in my mind, I'm like, "Yeah, I want to be on the road. I want to work for WCW, of course." And he made a phone call to the Booker at the time, and it was a phone call at 11:30, 12 o'clock on a Thursday night. And he asked Terry Taylor, who's, you know, a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Right.
Can we put Brad Kane in the flock on Monday in Nitro? And I'm hearing Raven's side of the conversation. He's like, well, oh, yeah, I forgot. I'll tell him and let him know. Click. And he said, hey, we've got a pay-per-view on Sunday. And so we got to fly out Saturday morning to be at the, you know, to be at the show on
right.
Sunday. So book your ticket. And he goes, ah, we need to come up with a gimmick for you. You don't look like a star. And I'm sitting there, you know, with dark hair. And he, out of the blue, he just says, you're going to be Billy Idol. And he says, I want you to go tomorrow, go down to Little Five Points there in Atlanta and get you some black leather pants and some Harley boots and get you a glove and chains and a sneer. And, oh, you got to dye your hair blonde and, you know, get that whole gimmick together. And here's my flight. Book yourself on this flight. We're leaving Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So I've got 30-some hours here maybe at the best.
Right.
To go from a dark-haired guy to a
Billy Idol
character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Billy Idol lookalike.
Girl that I called a friend of mine, and she got me in with her hair person, and she fried my scalp because you really can't go from dark hair to blonde hair in one shot. And so between picking up all the stuff at Little Five Points, the black leather pants, the gloves, the chains, the
right.
9 yards. And we get to the show, and I didn't have a name, actually, for about the first 6 or 7 weeks I was on TV. They couldn't decide what to call me, and they realized my look looked too much like Billy Idol.
Right.
And they were kind of caught on that, and the lawyers looked at it and said, hey, you copyright, you know, he's got a copyright on that name and that look. You can't copy more than 68% of it, and you're basically 100% Billy Idol. We can't do this. And, you know, Terry Taylor and I and Raven were sitting there. I'm like, why can't we just, you know, call me Lodi, which is Idol spelled backwards. And so that's where Lodi came from.
There you go.
It's just Idol spelled backwards. So, yeah, that's the story. Some people know it, and some people – it's funny after all these years. You know, we're looking at, what, 21, 22 years ago. Some people look at me, and they're like, that's why you're named Lodi.
Right? Like, they all of a sudden, click, click. Oh, connect the dots. So. Yeah, right, I had always wondered, but when I heard that story, I'm like, that's a fascinating story. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one. We so appreciate our listeners. If you will support this program with a financial gift of any amount, I will send you a personalized copy of my latest book, Nikita, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to Koloff.net. That's Koloff.net, Koloff.net, and make your contribution today. So you have this really a great run in World Championship Wrestling, WCW, with Raven's Flock. And who are some of the names you got to wrestle? Just mention the names.
Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Diamond Dallas Page. I mean, all the guys that I idolized and looked up to at that point in wrestling because of Raven's stature and all the angles we ran with Raven, we got to get in with pretty much everybody. You know, and then to work with the guys in the flock, it was a really cool experience to be able to do that, you know. And so the fact that – and the guys were all wonderful. You know, Harlem Heat with Stevie Ray and Booker T and those guys we worked with. I mean, I go back and look at some of the stuff on the network and it just – because it all runs together when you're working, you know, 20 days a month for years.
Right.
And it's all of a sudden you go back and you see some of these matches and you're like, oh, I forgot how many times I worked with Rey Mysterio. I forgot how many times I worked with Billy Kidman. I forgot how many times I worked with Saturn. And you just go through it and you're like, wow, that was –
No, I know exactly.
It's kind of a blur.
I know exactly what you mean because, like, people post stuff on social media, and I'm like, oh yeah, I did wrestle Diamond Dallas Page, didn't I? You know, and Cactus Jack. And,
oh, yeah.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, so you still look phenomenal. You really do. You got a personal training center there in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're still in the ring, I know, and sometimes, you know, 10 times a month, and you can still carry your load because I witnessed that out in Texas not too long ago, wrestling, you know, some of Koloff Dynasty. And so you can still go. You can still carry your own load, and pretty amazing.
thank you for saying that. That means a lot. Thank you.
No, for real. You really can. And so I know you got this personal training studio, which is kind of interesting too, right? It's almost full circle because I heard you say you graduate college, you open a personal training studio, start training personal, you know, guys like C.W. Anderson, you know, Raven and others. Yeah. And so you're still doing personal training, and I know you're phenomenal at that as well, but you also got a wrestling school. I know recently Arn Anderson's kid has gone through your school, right?
Yes, sir, he did. He
just signed with AEW, right, recently?
He signed with AEW, yeah, and I was so proud of Brock Anderson, and he came in, you know, for 14, 15 months and rarely missed a practice. We're talking 2 and 3 times a week. Even during COVID, he and I kept working. And so his work ethic was absolutely, I mean, off the charts. I'm so proud of that kid, and I can't wait for him to make a debut. And again, I've had a hand in training some other guys who made it that far. And for me at this point in my life, to see some of those guys end up on TV and getting contracts is a really cool thing.
Well, I know Arn, I know AA has got to be proud and thrilled too for the opportunity. And you mentioned some other, correct me if I'm wrong, Charlotte Flair, you trained her?
Yes, I was her first trainer before she ever went down to Florida for WWE. Yes, sir.
So you've had the opportunity to train a lot of individuals who, whether on the independent circuit or even out there with some of the more major organizations, have had success, which is just a testament to, one, your work ethic and your ability to not only learn what you learn in perfecting your craft, but then be able to pass that on to others.
Thank you for saying that again. And that's, I feel like I was so blessed with some of the guys that I was taught by and some of the guys who passed on their knowledge to me. You know, we talk about, I worked for Dusty Rhodes for a year and a half after WCW down in Atlanta. And, you know, you came down and saw us at the Turnbuckle that time. And to spend time with him for a year and a half and take that knowledge and not ever share it with somebody, I think would be one of the biggest disasters of my life to not pass that on, because he was just a wealth of knowledge when it came to wrestling. It was cool to talk about that with Magnum this past weekend. We were all in Kentucky, so yeah.
Yeah, because you said you got to, basically sit in his office, you know, 5 days a week, more or less, and just learn and glean, you know, and he was, let's make no mistake, he was a genius, I feel, when it came to the knowledge of wrestling, and one of the most creative guys I've ever known was the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
His creativity was just off the charts, and the way he was just come up with things and see things, yeah, it rivals. I think Raven is really good at that. I really do. But Dream was maybe even a step above what Raven could do. Those two guys are two of the most creative guys I've ever been able to spend time with. But to learn from those two guys and have them pass that on to me and spend time with Paige and some of the guys who've been instrumental helping others feed some of this knowledge into me and not pass that on, like I said, would probably be terrible.
Well, before we go, you know, I saw a video that your church did one time on your transition, your transformation, you know, as a believer in Jesus. What would you say, Lodi, as a Christ follower? I know you're part of some great organizations like Christian Wrestling Organization there in Texas. What would you say to someone out there listening that doesn't know, have a relationship with Jesus?
I grew up in the church. I knew of Jesus and I had great parents that instilled that in me at an early age. But when I started wrestling and started making money and in my mind became a big star, I got as far away from that as I could have. And it was some of the biggest mistakes I made in my whole life. And no matter how much money I made or how much fame or wealth I was surrounded by, I always had this big hole in my heart. I never felt fulfilled. Not a good word. It's just there was always something missing in the back of my mind. I don't know if it was a nagging thing or whatever, but you know, when I slowly started moving back towards the church and moving back towards Jesus, this life we have here is so short in the big scheme of things. And the things we do here and the choices we make here are going to determine where we spend eternity. And we're all going to stand in front of our maker one day. And the biggest decision we're ever going to make, I think, on this planet is whether we're going to follow and serve Jesus or not. And I think for me, I know that it's the best decision I've ever made. And since I made that decision, the ability to help others and still be alive to help others and help spread the gospel through wrestling, it's something I love in my personal training. We have Bible verses on the wall at the gym.
Yeah.
I am able with what I do to talk about Jesus pretty much all day long if I want to. And sometimes, you know, I probably do. It's been one of the greatest things ever. And if I look back on my life, I was having a conversation with a lady yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, I've had two occupations, two jobs as an adult. I've been a personal trainer and a professional wrestler. And I've never felt like I've worked a day. And I've been blessed with that life, Nikita. And that was what God gave me.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for that. And I want to spend the rest of my life serving him.
Well, you know, I know you got kind of a label called Team Fearless, and of course the Bible says don't be ashamed of the gospel. And so, you know, and I appreciate you sharing a little bit of that story as well. We're going to have you back on another segment on another show, and let's talk a little bit more about that. And so, for those out there listening today, I mean, you heard some of Lodi's amazing story as a professional wrestler and how he got into that, but most important, I think if you paid attention at the end there. What's most important in his life now is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and his ability to now use wrestling as a platform to share that with the world and not be ashamed of the gospel. And so if you've never made that decision, make that decision today. Just say, you can say two simple words, I surrender. So Lodi, real quick, you have a website?
I do. You can catch up on all of our gym stuff and our wrestling school at yourflexappeal.com. It's yourflexappeal.com. And all of my social media, I'm pretty easy to find. It's Lodi One Brad on everything, Facebook, Brad Lodi Kane. So if you want to see where I may be speaking next or wrestling next or just catch up with me or shoot me a, you know, I have a question for me,
awesome.
By all means, reach out and I'll respond to that.
Awesome. Check out his wrestling school. Check out his social media. Lodi, thanks for joining us today on the Man Up Show.
Men, I would like to challenge each of you to consider spending 5 days with Lex Luger and I at Man Camp, pursuing the heart of God. Ladies, if you're listening, we'll send your men home better equipped to be men of God, godly husbands, and godly fathers. If that appeals to you, give them your blessing and encourage them to sign up today at mancamp.info. Pastors, if you would like to bring Koloff for Christ Ministries and Man Up Conference to your community, go to koloff.org and email me. Remember this, it's time to man up.
Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare here for Crescent Automotive. If buying a car is a nightmare for you, my friends, Brian and Jamie Johnson at Crescent Automotive make it simple to find your pre-owned dream car with no hassle, affordable windshield pricing. No matter where you live, they will get your American dream car to you, baby. DriveCrescent.com is all you need to know. Their whole inventory is right there with the right price. Everybody drives a Crescent. You should too. DriveCrescent.com.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.